And so this is your last chance to say whatever you want to say.
And I think now we had, I hate to bring this up, but I believe we had a miking issue in hour number one. Matt got off the air, and apparently he could not be heard. And Matt, let's see if you're heard now.
How's it going, guys?
I think it's better.
You can hear him now?
I can hear you better.
Are the levels going up and down?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we just have now
under control. Now
this is my fault because on the index card, which labels the microphones, the orange microphone used to be on pot number two, but pot number two went down, so I put it on pot number five. But I did put pot number five as orange, but I did not scratch off number two being orange. So I think number two was up last hour when there's nothing on number two.
Right. But so, I've got it down now.
Now we're good.
We're good.
We're all heard.
So this is it, guys. It's been a great week. It's been a wonderful week. It's Friday night. This is our last hour. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, I've been thinking, I don't know how many hours I've been on the air this week, because I did the morning show every day, so that there, between the 5 hours this morning and the 8 Monday through Thursday, so I normally do 13 plus this, so 15, I normally do. Monday I did 3 at the fair, Tuesday I did 4, so that's 7, Wednesday 2, that's 9, yesterday 4, that's 13, and then tonight 2, that's 15, so 30. I did 30. Oh, I'm all talked out. I have nothing left to say. This is hour number 30. It's like a telethon, radiothon.
That almost makes you full-time, Scott.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to pass out now. And it was a busy, you know, I was telling, I think Pastor Craig and I had this conversation, but Matt and I had this conversation today. Also this week, I did the interview with Scary Crazy Ohio about Gypsy Queen. I did the James Anderson very personal interview about his cancer diagnosis. And, this conversation's not that stimulating, I guess, for Sean over here.
Okay, are we keeping you up, Sean?
I've been tired today.
So I did those two things in the last 2 days. So, and then today you had the 5 hours, and then I was back at the fair with Matt at 3. So really, since Tuesday, I have not had a break in the action.
Now, are we gonna get to hear sometime in the future you and the guest from, when you were doing
Scary
the
Ohio?
Yes.
What is it? What was her thing, Matt? Because you were here for that. Crime?
True crime.
True crime. Now, how did... I believe so. Yes, I believe that will be on because... I won't be... That was hers. I didn't interview her. She interviewed me. That will be available sometime somewhere. But I really didn't understand it, to be honest with you. So, Matt, what did you take away from that girl and her time? Miranda Hundley.
I'm not sure because I don't use TikTok, which is her main platform. So I don't know how anything works on there. So like, I don't even know how she put all that on one video because as far as I know, TikToks are like 30-second clips.
Yeah, how long did we do? 13 minutes or something?
Yeah, like I genuinely don't know how she did it. She just posted like...
Well, I said she was very professional. She had a light ring. She had the camera positioned exactly so we could see it, looking back at ourselves. She made sure the sound was good. She did shots of us walking through the cemetery for continuity. Took pictures of articles that I had to put in there to make a real edit. And she's going to do an editing thing on this bit.
So it's really a full story. I mean, she's the whole nine yards.
Well, and I was telling Matt this early. You know, when you're in this business for 21 years, at the time something is happening, you never think that's going to amount to anything. Now, the two examples I've had this week are with Matt. Matt really ended up in broadcasting because he saw a Snapchat of me, a mentioning of me, having Ted Williams announce he was going to run for president on my show. Now, that happened in 2015. That's 8 years ago. Now, certainly at the time, I didn't think somebody who was 11 was going to break into broadcasting because of that event when it happened 11 years ago. And then this staying the night in the St. Mary's Cemetery, that was 14 years ago that I did that. Certainly didn't think I was going to be getting a call because that's now mentioned in a book and on a website about being interviewed for that when I did that 14 years ago. So there you go.
So how did that come about 14 years ago when you spent the night in the cemetery?
You know, that's funny because I was trying to recall that for the girl, and really I just made it up because my memories, I just made the whole story up. Because honestly, I don't remember why that became, I know I had an interest in the Gypsy Queen because of Madge Cooper. She told that story many times. That was one of her favorite stories. But I know it was the 105th anniversary of her death. I do know that. And I know that the story was that gypsies came back on the date of her death to find her. Now, that probably was the catalyst for doing it. But why it became a media story, why the Marion Star put it on the front page, why, that I don't know. I don't know why that was a story, but it was.
But it's lived on.
14 years.
Yeah.
Made it in a book. She had to tell. I didn't know that. It's in a book called Spooky Marion. She even said the author's name. And apparently it's also on a website. And she sent me the picture of that. That I'm a part of the Gypsy Queen history now because of that staying in the night in the cemetery.
You know, I don't know if it's the same maybe person that did the book Spooky Marion. But I know there's out there somewhere. I had seen it a couple times. There's a book about that's related to that. It's like Spooky Ohio or Spooky Places in Ohio.
Well, I thought they would. I guess they don't have to ask you to do that because they're not interviewing. And it is public domain that I did it. So, you know, they don't have to ask me. But it's interesting to find that that's become a thing now.
Yeah.
And this girl was young. Young. How old would you say she was? 30? Maybe.
Wow.
There you go. Living on with the kids.
There you go.
Yeah. They'll keep me alive.
What if no?
What if no?
What if no?
And Matt didn't even know anything about the Gypsy Queen, and this girl had never been there because she was scared, so I had to take them both over there. And I said, listen, I stayed the night here. And what did she... She called me crazy because I stayed the night there.
She was petrified because I was picking things up off of the tombstone and looking at them. Like, she was like, don't touch it. I was like, I'm not going to take it. Like, I'm looking at it and then just put it back down.
You and I talked at the fair about this, the fact that really it's not a well-known story. There's not some kind of memorial that you can go to and read about it or, you know, things like that. So it really is a close to forgotten event.
Oh, really? Yeah, I it's sad because it's Marion's most interesting history. On the whole. You know, Harding's interesting. The Merchant Ball, I never got the Merchant Ball. I don't understand why that's a thing it turns, I guess. You never heard of the Merchant Ball? Google that sometime.
All right.
To me, I don't get that. That's not entertaining to me. It's not interesting. There's no backstory to it. But I do like the Gypsy Queen.
Well, you know, there's another thing that's kind of like forgotten, lost history in Marion that you've talked about before, Scott, and that is, help me on this, but it's the old cemetery.
Quarry Street.
Yeah, where, like, there's some really famous early people from Marion.
Eber Baker, the founder.
Right. But now it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Well, maybe.
Okay.
I think they're still under there. I don't know how they would have ever dug them up.
Right.
So I really don't know. Quarry Street, I mean, I was actually talking to Miranda about that the other night, and I said, listen, that's a mystery that has never been solved. Was Eber Baker moved from Quarry Street, the founder of Marion, to the Marion Cemetery? There's no record of it anywhere. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they can say he was, but I what did she say? She said, do you think they'd let us dig?
Yeah, she literally wanted to. She was like, we just need to go out there with shovels and dig up the body.
But I mean, even if you did, I mean, theoretically, what are you going to find? How are you going to know that's Eber Baker?
You're not.
That's my story. How did they ever find him to move him?
Right.
That's my point.
Right.
That's
so
all.
If in your course of digging around you do come across something, you don't know who's.
Well, I think the big question is, and Sean, what do you think, is that do you believe in ghosts? That's the big question.
I believe in ghosts. I believe in ghosts, yeah.
I also believe in ghosts.
Well, see, I'm in the minority here. I do not, and that's why I guess staying in the cemetery all night does not
go to Gettysburg.
See, people say that, but I think that's like a lot of things in life that so many people have said it. You already go there with a paranoia, and you're up. You're ready to see it because you expect to. So every little thing will set you off.
I think I saw my grandma the other night.
Now, did you have that big gas mask on that you wear to bed? Maybe it was sucking the air out of your brain instead of putting it in.
I wear a sleep apnea machine.
I figured that out.
Yeah.
Oh, and let me tell you this, and this is a very quick story. I went to New York one time with Sean and Terry, and Terry was in the fold-out couch in the, we had a very nice suite, by the way, in the Wellington Hotel in New York. I still have to mention their name all these years later because...
You guys lived in a big living room.
Beautiful place, right next to Carnegie Hall. So Terry's asleep on the couch in the living room, and Sean's asleep on the bed in the bedroom. And I was having trouble sleeping that night. And I get up, and Sean in the bedroom, it's swoosh,
swoosh. That's not true. It's not that loud.
That's the machine. I mean, it looked like he's on a respirator.
No, it's probably
so. I go out into the kitchen and out in the living room, and I hear swoosh, swoosh. And Terry's got a gas mask on, too. And I thought, both these guys are on respirators. I'm the only one here who's not on life support in this hotel room. And I couldn't sleep the rest of the night.
I was gonna say, yeah, it didn't give you a whole lot of comfort, did it?
No, I mean, it was like being in the ICU unit of the hospital. It was horrible.
That's not true.
What a trip.
Oh, gosh.
Would you like to correct the story?
Yeah. What do you got to correct there? That was absolutely true.
No, wait. You
the only thing I left out is Terry's machine didn't have any water in it. Now you figure that one out.
No, your machines don't make that kind of... Don't make
oh, yes. You don't know. You got it hooked up to your head.
And you're asleep.
They make noises.
They do. They do.
My! I just can't really hear it.
You're the lucky one in the room that can't hear.
Yeah, but two of them going in that hotel room. Oh my God! I about went and slept in the bathtub. Locked the door.
You wasn't feeling too well anyway. You was having a problem that day.
Yeah, but I. Oh, trust me, I would not have needed a problem to get up during that mess. I could have been perfectly well, and
it's not that bad.
Well, two of them were bad.
Maybe I don't know. I didn't hear it.
And they were like in concert. Swoosh, swoosh, woo, woo. Swoosh, swoosh, woo.
You couldn't hear his. He's clowning.
I was standing in the hallway.
Oh, you're standing in the hallway.
You should have gone down to the front desk and said, I think there's been a mistake in my room.
Yeah, I thought, boy, I need to get out of these two guys. Holy mackerel. So there you go. That's all I got on sleep apnea. But I don't believe in ghosts. I think that's... okay, listen. If I'm dead, I don't want to spend my life here doing hanging around a graveyard or whatever.
I honestly think my house is haunted. I think I probably need to get one of those people that come in and, what do they call that, Pastor? Sage?
An exorcist?
Or come in there and take the ghost out of the house.
Yeah, an exorcist.
It's called sage, right? They sage the house?
I don't know what they call that.
They do sage the house. They burn sage and, like, walk to the room and, like, chant, I don't know, things. Like, they're like prayers kind of things. And then
leave the ghost.
Supposedly, they're supposed to leave.
Yeah.
Or you can make them mad.
Make a what?
Make them mad.
Why would you want to do that?
Because you have the chance and try to do whatever you have to do with your cross. And
no, because I don't want to get too deep theologically and all that. But I'm a firm non-believer in ghosts.
Oh, you are.
Yes.
Oh.
Two and two.
Well, I.
What is a ghost?
Ghost is a spirit that has not crossed over.
Why would you not want to cross over?
It's not that they don't want to. They have something in the physical world that is holding them back.
Either they got shot or killed.
Even when you're dead, you don't get off work. See, I don't want that. I just want to go.
Or a lot of times they don't have enough energy to cross over.
Well, certainly you and Terry will probably be hanging around then. I don't think you're going to make it.
I'm going to hang around because I have unfinished business to do on that day. So How will you know? I'm just going to make myself know. I'm not going to cross over. Because you don't have to cross over. You know, Jackie Harrison told us that before.
But why would you not want to?
Yeah, I'm with Scott on this one, though. If I had the choice, I don't see why I wouldn't.
Well, because a lot of times you just want to watch over your family or something.
You know what? This reminds me of a joke I heard recently. Did I tell you the duck joke?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell this, because this is a clean joke you can tell on the air.
Oh, Lord, the joke. Yeah, go ahead.
I might have some unfinished business before the show's over with. I might be hanging around.
Oh, Lord.
It fits into this conversation. Okay, three ladies all die at the same time, and they go up to heaven, and they see St. Peter, and they ask St. Peter, what do we have to do to get into heaven? And St. Peter says, well, really, there's only one qualification to get in, and that's once you get in, do not step on any of the ducks. and he opens up the door to heaven, and all there is ducks everywhere. Ducks, 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 ducks everywhere in heaven. So the first lady walks in, and immediately she steps on a duck. So here comes St. Peter, and St. Peter brings the ugliest man this woman has ever seen and chains him to her forever. And he says, together for eternity, you must two must be together. And the other lady, second lady, says, man, I'm going to avoid the duck. But inevitably, 2 days later, she steps on a duck, and here comes St. Peter with another ugly, ugly man, chains him to the second woman. You're together for eternity. Well, the third woman has seen what happened to the first and second woman, and she is going to avoid at all costs stepping on a duck. And you know what? She did not step on a duck. But yet, St. Peter comes one day with the most beautiful man she's ever seen in her life and handcuffs this beautiful man to this woman, but doesn't say anything. And St. Peter goes away. And the woman loves this. And she's thinking, why am I chained to this man? So after a few days, she finally turns to him and she says, I don't know what I did to be chained to you, but I'm sure happy. And the guy says, I don't know what you did, but I stepped on a duck.
Yeah, I knew. I saw it coming. I saw it coming. It was good.
They're laughing at home. They're laughing at home. I love that joke. It's clean, it's simple, and it's got a twist at the end.
There you go.
There you go. That's all you need.
That's right.
It's Friday night.
That's right.
You got any better material?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay. No, that's all I'm saying. I thought it fit in.
It did. It did. Sean, you want a tap dance?
Do I want a tap dance?
Yeah.
You got Jeez, I just straightened the pictures on the wall. Don't do that.
Well, you know, Scott asked Matt if he had any material, and he not really. And I said, well, you might have some material.
Oh, no. My material is raw. It's bad. All my material is bad.
So let me ask you this, just totally changing subject here. Do you envision one of your females coming back on Friday nights? I mean, I know that
we've had a few.
You've had a couple the last several weeks. And
well, here's the story. Camden, I don't know if we want her to come back. We've had a couple experiences there that were not tremendous. Nothing on her behalf, but not everybody's made to be on the radio. Olivia, we saw tonight at the fair, by the way. Got to say hello to Olivia. Had not seen her in a while. She came on, and there was an incident where her fiancé called in, and I think there was some confusion, and it caused problem. I can't say that for sure, but after that, we never saw Olivia again. Emily was on last week. Emily did a great job. Matt, you got the story on Emily.
She just, I've asked her if she wanted to come back, and she always just says, I don't know, we'll see, and then doesn't.
So, we're not sure, but there is going to be we have to fill the fourth seat at some point. Now, right now, I think we're going to approach Carrington. Yeah, but other than that, who knows? If she says no, well, maybe you're available, Pastor Craig. You're moving back to town.
Well, I just might be.
Hey, there
you
go.
That'd be pretty
but
cool.
Why not? Four people are better than three. You got to have somebody at every microphone.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But that was the rundown.
All right.
You'd enjoy this, wouldn't you, every Friday night?
Yeah, I would enjoy this every Friday night. Yeah.
Because on a normal, you're not wrapping up from the fair, so we already haven't done 2 hours of broadcast, and there's always something coming in here. Somebody's on somebody's mind usually. Right. So it's a fun show to do on Friday night.
Like you said, we're not wrapping up from the fair on normal Friday nights, and we also haven't had a heavy week like we had this week.
Well, and I think it's kind of like that. There are differences, small, but it's kind of like that Live at 5 show that used to be on, but that you and Nate and Terry did, but all of our hosts are conscious.
Yes.
And nobody's ever came in with an anger, with yelling at the rest of the cast. I've never had that happen.
The rest of the cast making accusations about felonies being committed.
Yeah, never had that. You know, Sean had a question about that the other day he wanted to ask. Didn't you?
What was it?
About the key?
Oh, yeah. I have a question for you.
Okay.
So how when he approached you to that, did you...
Hold on, before you ask that question, you better tell the audience who may not have heard the anniversary show what happened.
All right. Okay. So Nate and I are here, and we get the show started, and we didn't know if we were going to see the other person because sometimes that happened. He just didn't show up.
Happened yesterday.
And yeah, and we were probably 5-10 minutes into the show, and there's this all kind of ruckus at the door. I mean, all kind of ruckus at the door. And I was trying to be a true professional and just kept right on talking and pretended like it didn't happen. And the ruckus continued, so I reached over and opened the door, and there was Terry, and... Who locked me out? Why'd I get locked out?
On the air.
Yeah, this is on the air. And he's like, why'd you guys lock me out? And we're going, Terry, we didn't lock you out. And he goes, well, I couldn't get the door open. The door must have been locked. And so then he came and he sat down. And then he had to rant for 10 more minutes about being locked
out. Wow, that's a show unto itself right there. That's a good way to start a show.
So finally... I tried to change the subject twice, and it kept coming back to that. And so then Nate stepped in. He says, so Terry, let me ask you this. And Nate got him off track. But it was a rough 10 minutes there as we were accused of locking him out.
See, that's a little behind the scenes.
Yeah. So my question is, Terry has a key. I don't understand why he said you take you.
His key wasn't working.
Oh. But yeah, you went over there and twisted it and opened it up.
Right.
So what was the accusation if his key wasn't working? Did he change the locks? I mean, I don't quite understand what happened.
The key supposedly wasn't working, but we locked him out. I mean, he was upset.
Yeah, but I understand that part of it. I'm just trying to get to the logical part of...
I don't think there was any logic in this.
He was clearly angry about something else.
He was. And you know, some of us are aware of what it was that was going on that he was angry about, and it just boiled over into this and came out on this. But.
You know, isn't that interesting, though? Because we talk a lot about human nature on this show, and I do believe I know what the underlying tension was there that drove to that, because I heard a lot of talk at that time. You know, even though I wasn't in the studio at that time, I was hearing about that. But, you know, that, interestingly enough, you know, what's fascinating is Nate Redmond, who was here for a while, did a very cordial, unpolitical, no issue type of show, and your show on Sunday was really a non-issue type of show, interview program, and you both really tried to avoid that, and that's just style. So you come up with that third person with this Live at Five show again to be a non-confrontational, non-political, non-entity like that, and really probably in the history of the station, that had more tension underlying in that show than any other show that's ever been on here.
You're probably right.
Yeah, now, isn't that interesting?
It is.
No matter how hard you try, if tension's going to come, it's just going to come.
And who knows when it's going to pop out or how.
Yeah, you don't have to talk politics. You don't have to talk current events. You don't have to do any of that. Sometimes it's just conflicting personalities.
Yep.
Yep, and that happens. And that's what I was trying... On a show like this and on the Exchange Club on Friday, sometimes you get it wrong, and you know when you got it wrong. You have to have the right people. You have to have chemistry.
Yeah.
And I think that show, unfortunately, in the beginning it seemed like it had it, but somewhere along the line, tension developed, and I think it ate it.
Yeah, I really do feel like we had chemistry at the beginning. I really do feel like we had good chemistry at the beginning, and somewhere in the middle of the process, because of underlying reason and tension, then it just kind of evaporated.
So why, my question is, why didn't you replace him?
Well, I don't think I was in a position to replace him.
Well, not as a station entity, but on the show.
But on the show, well... That kind of gets into the other part of what was going on, because we had somebody that would have been a willing replacement, but that would have been a bigger problem.
Well, see, to me, that would have been the issue, because I think, now this is just my opinion, had it not been that person who was replacing him, I think it would have been okay.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but you bringing that person in... Because that was the issue.
Right.
So, yeah, I would not have brought that person in to replace him, but somebody.
Right.
I mean, I was not available at the time.
Right. And Sean wouldn't return my calls.
Oh, Sean, you're going to take it over.
Person, ain't I?
I don't know who would.
You have my phone, do you?
It's right down the wall there.
I got it up.
Right down the wall.
Oh, that's right, it is.
Just in happenstance, at that time, of the people who were here, I mean, who would have fit in there? Because you couldn't have gone with that person, and that person you needed to really swipe under the rug. Who would have fit into that show?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, to be honest, I think Glenn probably could have fit in.
Oh, I think that would have been
Glenn could have fit in there real well because we didn't do anything political. You know, it was just kind of, you know, talk about whatever. And I think he probably could have stepped in.
I think Linda could have stepped in.
Definitely Linda, yeah.
I think those would have been, and I honestly joke, but I think Sean, had he been available, and probably, I think probably was. I mean, that was a later show in the day. Yeah. That could have worked.
Yeah.
So there were choices. I just think there was a lot going on at that point.
There was. Yeah.
But that's interesting, and that's a behind-the-scenes story, Matt, of what radio is really like.
A whole lot of internal conflict?
No, not a whole lot, but it can happen.
It can happen.
Oh, yeah, of course it can happen.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, sometimes, you know, it can happen, and it doesn't get resolved right away. It maybe continues for a while, but as long as there's nothing to aggravate it, you can kind of continue on in a mode where there is that tension, there is some aggravation, and everybody is still fine because, you know, you at least I approach it, you know, I've got a job to do and leave personal feelings out of it. It's just when you have that situation where it gets aggravated, then the whole thing can blow up in your face.
You know, that's a hard thing to understand, and this is a great topic for a Friday night because, again, it's not political, it's not a current event, and we're all obviously here in broadcasting, and maybe people at home would like to understand this. The good rule of thumb, and it's hard to believe this, and it's hard to do this sometimes. If you have a mic in front of your face, let's say Sean and I would get into a disagreement right now about anything. If a mic's in front of your face, when the mics go off, because a mic was in front of your face when that happened, you need to just leave it right there. Leave it right. You cannot continue it like you would. You cannot harbor that argument. I don't like that person now because they did that off the air. These are shows. Now, they are not shows in that they're fake. They're not fake at all. But because there's a microphone in front of you, you have to understand we wouldn't be having these conversations if we didn't have microphones in front of us. So you got to learn that lesson.
It's all for entertainment purposes.
Well, I don't want to say that because I don't think we're doing a show like a theatrical show.
The Friday night show is for entertainment
purposes. It's entertainment, but it's honest. Nobody's lying there. Right. So you're never lying. I don't want to come off like that. We're not having the argument to have the argument. We're really having the disagreement. But because we're behind microphones, it's not, you know, you don't continue it when it's over. You have to stop it.
Right.
Yeah. Or else you will eat it alive.
Yeah.
Like me and Charlie.
Well, you and Charlie did have the moment.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I've never heard about this.
We didn't tell that at the anniversary show?
Did we?
Maybe not. Well, I'll tell it.
Okay, go ahead.
You want me to tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, here's what happened. And it's one of those moments again. It was the Exchange Club, which
but
is...
But you know what? Can I say something real quick, though? Me and Charlie liked each other. We left it at the microphone, didn't we?
Yes. So it is one of the, it's the opposite of what you had happened, where it wasn't left at the microphone. But what happened was the Exchange Club on Fridays, which used to be a panel show, which I hope one day will once again be once I get the panel back together. But it was me, Sean, Charlie Evers, and Marge Hazelett. You know, so that was the show on Friday, and we just discussed. That was a current event show. That was a real every Friday. Let's discuss the week that was. And what happened was, one Friday, there was a story out of Columbus. I don't even remember what it was, but it was about an African-American boy being shot by the police, and there are a lot of those stories that come out, certainly out of inner cities. And the argument on the show developed into why do we... It was the gun issue, is what it turned into. And I'm trying to moderate and not give my opinion. And Marge was not really getting in on that, but Charlie was very pro-police officer. And Sean decided that police officers should have rubber bullets. And Charlie was not of that opinion.
I mean, and in that situation, not like rubber bullets all the whole time, just in the situation when they're doing a...
Right. And that, well, I guess that would be, you know, regardless, that was the conversation.
Yeah.
Why can't they use rubber bullets?
Yeah.
And Charlie was, you know, Sean would say, well, why can't they use rubber bullets? Rubber bullets! And Sean and Marge is in the middle. You know, Sean's to the left, and Marge is in the middle, and Charlie's over on the right, and I'm behind the desk, so I can see everybody. And and it's really getting heated. I'm thinking we need to get off this subject because Sean kept saying, "I don't understand why we can't use rubber bullets." And Charlie said, "Rubber bullets." You know, that's really the conversation that's happening. And I look over, and Charlie Evers, who's in his 80s at this point, and I hate to tell anybody that I've told this story before, so it's not like it's hidden. I told it when he was still with us. But God rest his soul, Charlie Evers on radio looked directly at Sean, and and gave him the bird. Right on the air. Gave him the bird. Straight bird. And I think Sean was shocked because he stopped with that rubber bullet thing. And I just, I got to get off this subject. And I went on to the next thing. And it was so strange because the mics went off and we were on to another subject. Nobody ever said a word about it. Nothing. And Charlie was on at 3 o'clock, or 1 o'clock, right after that show. He went on the air. Marge went home. Sean and I went back in the office and I said, "Did you see Charlie flip you off?" And he said, yeah, I did. Because nobody said anything. It was like it never happened. And I said, "Did you see him flip?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "Do you think he was really mad at me?" And I said, "I've never seen him do that. I honestly, it was so shocking. I couldn't even understand it." And so anyway, this is the punchline. And it's a beautiful punchline. This is why radio is so great. 7 days pass. Nobody ever brings it up. It's never brought up. I see Charlie two more times that week. Sean, I see. Nobody ever talks about it. So we get to the following Friday. Same show. Nobody's ever brought it up. And here's how, you know, the gods. Sean was running late that day. And he was stopping to get us some pops at McDonald's. And he got stuck in the line. So he's already told me he's going to be a few minutes late. I start the show. Same show. The noon show. Everybody's in the same exact places. Charlie's over on the right. Marge is in the middle. We got an empty seat on the left because Sean is not there yet. And I've started the show. We're live on the air. Live on the air. So we're maybe 5 minutes in, and I've just introduced, and we're maybe onto the first subject. And Sean comes from the back, and he's coming through the studio. And he comes and he lays the pop on my table, and we had at that point, we have microphone covers on, which is how we designate the mics, screen covers, green, orange, purple, yellow. Well, at that time, we had a pink mic cover. So, by nobody could have set this up. The only mic that was left was the pink mic cover. That was the one that was left. So, the show is on the air moving, it's live. Sean sets the pop that he got for me over on my side of the table. He walks over. He sets his pop down. Now, the show's on the air. Charlie and Marge are sitting right there. And he looks at his microphone, and he goes, "Pink microphone?" He goes, "I see what you did, Charlie." And he flipped Charlie off right on the air. And I'm telling you, we all died for 5 minutes because it was like nobody had talked about it for a week, and we knew exactly what was going on. And I hit the floor, and Charlie hit the floor, and Marge's wig fell off. She was laughing so hard. And it was one of those magical moments I'll never forget. And it was hilarious. So there you go.
Wow.
Oh, it was
that, I'll never forget it. Never forget that moment.
Yeah. That was funny.
Too bad you don't have it on videotape.
No, but you know, I'd love to go back. I wish I remembered the date of it, because I'd love to listen to that audio sometime, because the show just comes to a dead stop of laughter. They probably thought we were all nuts, because nobody knew what he had done. But it was one of those times when you literally could not control your laughter. It was hilarious. Because it had been so stagnant. If we had talked about it, it wouldn't have been a thing.
Right.
But it was completely stagnant. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Matt, does that deter you in broadcasting anything, knowing that things like that can happen?
No, I think things like that can happen in any career you decide to choose.
Oh, it was a beautiful moment. Oh.
It was funny.
I tell you, it was the juxtaposition of the whole thing, because, first of all, Charlie, who was the wholesome, grandfatherly agriculture guy flipping somebody off. I mean, I think had anybody seen that, besides, I don't think anybody in life ever probably saw Charlie Evers give somebody the bird, except the three of us in that studio that day. And I really don't even know what prompted it. We never really went any further than that, why he did it. I think he was just angry at that subject. And Sean, I mean, I've never, maybe here or there, I've seen him give the bird, but certainly not to a man 80 plus like that. So it was just somebody giving Charlie Evers the bird was strange to see. So it was just all around strange.
And especially, too, to go a whole week without anything being said about what had happened. It just, I mean, that perfect setup.
Not a word, not a word. And it was beautiful. And the only other one that rivals that as we wrap up this fair week, because we had a lot of fun with Charlie. Because if you ever understood Charlie, and this is a quick one, because we've played this one many times back over on the air. We didn't do it at anniversary time, and we really should have. But it was LGBTQ. Oh. LGBTQ. You've never heard this, Matt. Pastor Craig, you ever hear?
I have not heard this story.
I'll have to get the clip for you sometime. Again, it was... Now, Sean was not there for this one. This was when...
I heard the interview, though.
I think Weasel Boy had taken over Sean's spot, because it was Marge, Charlie, Weasel Boy, and me. It was that exchange show produced a lot of great episodes.
But I did listen to the episode.
Oh, and I've played it.
Why is his name Weasel Boy?
I'll tell you that a different time. But, so we're all there, and it was a great... Again, great place to get your current events out. And I was talking about something, and Charlie all of a sudden, like a light went off over his head, and he goes, oh, because I'd had this conversation about Charlie, about LGBTQ, about Q means questioning, not the other word. You know what the other word is. Oh, okay, as long as everybody know at home? Yeah,
you all know what it is.
Yeah, they know at home. So, we're sitting there, and we weren't talking about anything like that. And all of a sudden, Charlie goes, oh, Scott. He said, I was watching the governor last night, and there was protesters in the governor's office, and they were talking about LGBTQ. And I thought about you. Now, first of all, right there, we were off. I thought, geez, Charlie, you thought about me. So, I mean, where is he going with this? And he said, LGBTQ. And he goes, and he said it.
Yeah, he did.
He said the word. And I said, oh, God. I said, Charlie. Oh, I said, you can't say that on the air. He said, why not? They did it in the office. LGBTQ. And he said the word again. And I said, stop. And he says it like 5 times in the course of 5 minutes. He goes, why can't I say boom? Why can't I say? So we can't get rid of the episode. So we insert the beeps. We take out the word and we insert the beeps. So if you listen to that, the punchline to this is, Charlie comes in like a week later and he's laughing hysterically. He's walking into the office laughing. I said, what do you think's so funny? He said, I was driving in this morning and that exchange club was playing from last week and it's just LGBT beep, LGBT beep. And that's what it sounds like if you listen to it in the replay, is you hear just these constant beeps going on. And it's a hilarious, and at one point I'm saying, turn down your radio. Turn off your radio. He can't be stopped.
Now, have you ever had to go through and on the recording beep something out that a guest said?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or that a caller said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not a caller, so I don't remember too many issues with a caller. But we've had guests say things that I don't...
Oh, no, a couple of callers.
I mean, more guests.
Yeah, a ton of more guests, but, you know.
Yeah, they'll say, you know, but they're not the big ones. They're never the big words.
No.
They're the ones, I mean, there are...
Kind of questionable. They can get away with some of them.
I mean, technically, you probably can say the Q word on the air, but you wouldn't want to.
Right.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we had to beep that. That was a fun moment.
It sounds like it.
But, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know what you call that. They're just moments in broadcasting that are fun.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you have to have, see, that to me was about that show. There was always a good chemistry there. And we could have fun. And that's why that was entertaining to me. When you have bad chemistry, you don't get that.
When you've got more than two people, well, even with two people, but when you've got more than two people, you need to have good chemistry. You really do.
And people don't understand chemistry. I don't think, you know, you either got it or you don't. You can't manufacture it. You can try week after week after week after week, and if you don't got it, you don't got it.
No, that's so true.
And, you know, with chemistry, there does have to be a little underlying tension. Not negative tension, but a little underlying tension, I think.
I think so, too. And that in itself will lead to a lot of comic moments.
Oh, yeah, and they're doing... I mean, the rubber bullet conversation was tremendous, because if we all agreed, that doesn't work. That show gets pretty boring after a while. But that there was a disagreement, That's good. That's what you want. But you did never want to manufacture an agreement. And you also never want to make up a story. You know, I had the story about the plant, the pot that was stolen off my porch, which I still haven't gotten over, last week. But, a lot of people thought that was a fake story that I was using for material. No, that's a true story. Now, when you're telling it, do you try to tell it as long as you can because you're telling it on the radio? Yeah, but there's no fake part in that story. So.
Well, and you know, so much stuff happens in life, you don't need to make up stories.
You really don't. And you know what? I was saying the other day to somebody, I don't remember even who it was, but I said, if you get on the microphone and you screw something up, say that.
Right.
Say, oh, I forgot to turn the microphone on here, but hold on, I'm going to get this right. Stay with me. Bear with me, because then the audience is with you. Right. You know, that's... Just be honest. Don't try to be Huntley Brinkley. You know, here we are with the evening news on Mount Olympus. No. Just say what happened.
And act like nothing ever happened.
That's right. Radio is a much more informal medium.
Informal in this case being good?
Yes.
Oh, I think so. I think everybody who's ever worked in radio and television always preferred radio.
This is the first time I've ever in my life heard informal being better than formal.
That's what works. Think about TV. It really doesn't work well for informal because there's too many things that your viewers can see that doesn't work. But in this kind of a setting,
you couldn't have this 45-minute conversation on television. No, so it's too formal.
Television doesn't add anything to this kind of a conversation. As a matter of fact, it probably takes away. Because they're watching, and there's nothing worth seeing about this conversation. You know what I mean? This conversation isn't made better if somebody could see us doing this. It doesn't help any.
You know what makes me nervous is I know Matt's sign-off is coming up very soon, I don't know if he's got it ready.
Well, let's see. We've got a minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Now, it's probably only going to take you about 10 seconds.
Right. So
you've got a minute and 20.
Right. So when I point to you, you've got the 10 seconds to do your sign-off, so you'll be prepared.
The only time in the history of this radio station that I've ever been on the air and let somebody else sign off a program.
And he's also not sitting at the control board.
Oh, it's a whole thing tonight. It's because I'm worn out after 30 hours of broadcasting. I got nothing left. The tank's on E.
Well, folks, we enjoyed having you listen. I hope you enjoyed listening to us. It's been a long week. It was a great week. We had a lot of fun at the fair. I hope you had a chance to hear some of our fair broadcasts. And I know that next week they'll all be up on there. They'll probably be up on there by this weekend. But anyway, anytime next week, they'll all be up there. And so... tune them in and enjoy it. And Sean, you have anything you want to say? You've got 20 seconds left.
I just want to tell everybody have a good night and have a good weekend.
It's been a great, fun week.
It surely has. It surely has. Well, now the spotlight's on you.
From Matthew Morgan and everybody else here at WWGH, thanks for joining us where Washington crosses the Delaware.
All right.
Hey, he got it.
He nailed it.
Good job, buddy.
Very good. Very good.
And timing is everything.
You're listening to WWGH.